Hey, everybody. Thanks for coming back to Festool Shop Talk. This is episode number 10, and we are blessed to have Zach Kenny from ZK Painting. He's one of our premier master certified painters in America. He owns an amazing professional painting company in the New England area. He's based out of Rhode Island, and we have a roadie online for you today, so check it out. It is a wealth of information. Thanks. Okay, hey everybody, welcome to Festool Shop Talk. I've been excited for everybody we've had on here, but we have Zach Kenny today from ZK Painting. And the reason, and I don't know if you know this, Zach, but the reason we have Festool Shop Talk is because of you. Did you know that? Yeah, man. This is episode number 10, and I'm going to call out where everybody can find you. This is what I call the business part of it. You can, and tell me if I'm right or wrong, you can find Zach at ZK Painting on Instagram.
Absolutely.
YouTube as well. Also, zkpainting.com. This blew me away. ZK Cedar Roof Coatings, and that's at cedarroofcoatings.com.
Yep.
Wow, that's awesome. We're going to talk about that. And also, I love this. He's at ZK Live Podcast. So,
and one other thing, ZK Finishing School, zkfs.net. We teach painting, and we teach social media marketing.
Oh, is that cool, man? Really? That's awesome.
Yeah.
We do in-person
classes in Boston.
Huh. Zach, you're a professional painter, and you're a roadie, right? From Rhode Island.
Yes.
Good, good. And your territory is all in New England?
We're moving our shop actually this month. We just signed a lease for a new shop in Boston. So we're moving to Waltham, and we're primarily, most of our work is in the Boston market, but we travel all over.
Wow, way cool. I just want to, before we get talking, I just want to give a little backstory how I met you. I think I met you at JLC a couple times, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah. But then all of a sudden, our marketing company last year. Now, hey, do you remember when it was? We did ZK Live?
I don't recall.
Big D, Chris, and I, we had to go back and look. I think it was the second week of May last year.
Wow.
Boy, time Crazy. Flies. So what Crazy. I'm getting at is on Monday, the guys in the marketing department came up to me and said, hey, you want to do a podcast? And I go, oh, okay. When? They go, tomorrow night, Tuesday night. And I went, oh, how long? They go, about a half hour. So you and I talked, I think, Monday afternoon. And I said, oh, yeah, that's easy. So I'm in my shop. I had never done Instagram Live. And the funniest thing is Derek, Chris, and I believe our CEO was listening to some of it, too. And we spoke 2.5 hours. I was blown away. That is the quickest I think time has flown in my life. I enjoyed myself thoroughly. And it was the second time I had done a podcast. I came back, and when I got into the office in the morning, our CEO, Derek, and Chris were all talking, and Clint just looked at me and goes, hey, guess what you're doing? He goes, you want to do a podcast? I went, absolutely. I was so jazzed that next day. So you are our inspiration, Zach. And I just want to let everybody know who's listening or is going to listen to this. The reason we have Festool Shop Talk is because of Zach Kenny and ZK Live. Thank you.
No, thank you. You guys, I'm a big fan of everything that you and your company does. So it's a great honor. I'm glad I could inspire you guys to create some great content.
Cool. So as we go through Festool Shop Talk and who everybody knows who's listening, it's not about Festool, it's about you, Zach. And we kind of want to find out a little bit about you, how you get started, how long you've been doing it, and actually what you do. So I'm going to give you the floor, my friend.
Yeah, I've been painting since I was 14 years old. It was a punishment at first. I had to paint a picnic table for my mom. Ended up, somebody saw me doing it. I got a summer job painting. I like the instant gratification of it. I painted through high school and college, and decided to go out on my own. I always wanted to do a higher level of work than my bosses were allowing me to. I'm a perfectionist. I wanted everything to be perfect. And it was always like, hey, we're not getting paid to make it that good. Let's go, like, get some paint on some things. And I just wanted to sand and sand and sand. So I built a painting company where we are in a great market, and we serve the ultra high end of that market, doing extremely high quality paint jobs, which again, take a lot of sanding and a very little bit of painting. So today we have a pretty substantial team now. We doubled in size last year.
Wow.
And we get to work on the coolest projects in Boston. It's amazing.
Yeah. I'll tell everybody listening, go to CK Painting. I think you have three slides on that front page. And I'm going to tell you what, I think I scrolled through them a dozen times yesterday. That kitchen is amazing. That finish, I'm going to say it, is perfection. Yeah. Boy.
That's what we strive for.
Yeah, well, I love your slogan. It's passion for craftsmanship. Man, that makes my day. So my next question is this, now that we say that, because I'm so intrigued because I love teaching people. What's the school all about? Go into that a little bit.
So through Instagram has been this amazing platform for me. It's my whole company is based on it. We would never be where we are today without Instagram. And so for years, I had all the time in the world and no work. And so I would answer lots of questions and I would post what we did. And eventually we got so busy that I had so much work and I was getting a lot of the same questions over and over again. And people wanting like things I really couldn't just do over the phone with an hour conversation. And I had spent many years working with Fine Paints of Europe and many thousands of dollars on consultants. And so I decided to start a school where we would teach in-person hands-on painting classes to help people shorten the learning curve of all the trial and error I did for years, banging my head against the wall to finally get some stuff that worked. So we on a whim during COVID, I put a story up on Instagram. We sold out the first class and we've been doing classes ever since. It's they're great. We keep them small. And we primarily focus on high gloss Fine Paints of Europe oil, because if you can do that at a high level, you can do any type of painting.
So my buddy did his front door with Fine Paints of Europe. Okay, you're going to love this. And he got coached by a few people. He used to work for Festool. He's down in South Carolina. He said that is the hottest finish he's ever tried to apply. You have to be exceptional at it. So I saw on your website, you are a master certified Fine Paints of Europe painter. What's the process of getting that certification?
Yeah, so there's 13 of us in the country. So it was a great honor to be part of this very elite group of painters. So we became certified. You can become certified by using the paint a lot at a high level, and then whoever you buy your paint from nominates you to Fine Paints of Europe. They do a little due diligence and then they certify 20 to 40 guys a year up in Vermont. And so once I was certified, I went all in and we converted our company to only using Fine Paints of Europe. We said no to any Sherwin-Williams, Benjamin Moore, if you want to do just some standard painting, that's not going to be us. And we really work to apply the coating at the highest level, but also build a company with customer service and all the back end stuff that was also on the same level. Huh. And so through our extreme dedication to a very specific target market, the owner of Fine Paints of Europe designated us as one of the master certified painters, which is a great honor.
And oh my God.
Still, I can't believe it.
Yeah. It's just, I tell everybody, go to the website. I go to your website and see this. It's just amazing. It's like colored glass, colored mirrors.
Yeah.
You know, and man, so on a front door, all right, and front entry door, how many coats are there? Can you just step me through the process? Say somebody's got a chipped out front door, say some townhome down in Boston, right? And they want a nice, my God, the one on your website's gorgeous, right? What's the steps to that?
So we're always going to take the door 99% of the time. In extreme cases, you could do the work on site. It would probably cost double what already is a $6,000 or $7,000 paint job on a door. So we don't really ever want to do it on site. So we take the door off. A carpenter comes in first and fits the door, makes sure the door is fit properly, puts generally the new hardware on, does all that work before we deliver a piece of art back, instead of having these poor carpenters have to like manipulate this perfect door. So we take the door. If it's an old door and there's any type of, the paint's not a perfectly sound substrate, we're going to strip the door. If the paint is in perfect shape, we don't need to fully strip. Mm-hmm. We're generally going to use 6 to 7 coats of high build primer. And with a number of like sanding primer with like little skim coats and imperfection filling in between, so that we can take a porous substrate and turn it into a smooth, flat thing.
Yeah.
We're looking for smooth and flat. Flat's the hard part, right?
Yeah.
Getting rid of wood grain. We have 2 doors downstairs right now. One of my great painters right now is just meticulously sanding moldings all day. He'll sand them all day today, and they'll do that 5 times on this door.
Wow. So
it's quite a bit of work. That's all the hard parts in the prep. Once we get a door that's like, that's why you give me a new metal door, there's a sheet metal door. That's so easy, right? All the prep work's done.
Right.
And then we're going to spray 2 coats of a oil-based high gloss enamel in an automotive booth. Dust is your big enemy with the oil. Mm-hmm. So actually in my new shop, we just bought a state-of-the-art automotive downdraft booth. So we can minimize the dust. And then we deliver it, and it's a beautiful piece of art. It's not just a paint job.
Oh, no, that's for sure. And you also, when I was talking to you last, you were talking about walls. People want these high gloss walls.
Yeah. And ceiling.
And ceiling, huh? It's can you faux paint with this fine paint?
So what we essentially, that exact the same process that we would do to a door, we do to walls, ceilings, cabinetry on site. It's a very expensive thing to do. You know, it's not for the average person, but I can, you know, we will skim coat with joint compound 5 or 6 times to try to get flat. Smooth is, again, not very hard. You can sand things smooth, but we don't want the funny mirrors, like at the carnival, the mirrors that are wavy,
right?
The reflection is distorted. So we need to have flat before we put our high gloss on. So most of the work is, again, in getting a surface flat. We do a fair amount of high gloss ceilings and walls. That's not an inexpensive thing to do, though.
Here's the segue. Do you use, what kind of sanders do you use?
All Festool, baby. and not that I haven't tried other sanders, but we are Festool. I've been a Festool guy since I bought my first RO90, only because I was doing a lead job. And I thought if I had a HEPA vac and a HEPA sander, I would be okay. That's really the only reason I bought it. And then you start using it, and you know, you get me going on Festool, and I won't stop because I'm a huge fan.
Yeah. It's funny because, I think a lot of people know this now. But way back when, say in 2007, the painter here in North America wasn't like a target market. Some painters knew about us because they were using our sanders over elsewhere around the world. And then we decided, I think it was 2011, to really bring some of the stuff that we need to bring over here to the painter. And you know what? I'll tell you what. So we were laughed at a little bit because everybody just thinks anybody can paint. Right.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, the people I have met in the paint industry, like yourself, you guys are artists at what you do. And I'm just blown away at how passionate you are about your craft. Now, I'm really digging that you're teaching people too, because you got to pass that craft on for sure, you know, for generation after generation. This is cool.
Okay, well, the thing to me, like, honestly, the thing about the Festival Standards is, yes, they allow us to do our high level work, but they also, like, labor is by far my most expensive thing. Like, mm-hmm. and they reduce our labor costs. So I know we're not here to sell Festival, but I will talk and convert anybody I can to it, because it makes money. It's a smart financial investment to buy tools rather than spend more on labor. And as a business owner, that's what I care about, is the bottom line. And so for me, I like Festival because it gives me a good finish, but I like it because it makes my guys work faster.
Yeah. And it's also a healthier environment with the dust extractor and everything. Yeah. No, I don't mean to downplay it, but that sounds, I don't think I could do it any better, Zach.
And also, one other thing, anyone turning on a shop vac inside of a house anymore is insane to me, right? I didn't know any better. We've all grew up using shop vacs inside people's houses.
Yeah.
But also, people have forever just assumed after the contractor's done, we have to hire a cleaning company to clean the house.
Right.
We have completely switched that whole thing. We use a lot of air movers and negative air machines to control dust. But the thought that I would come in and vacuum your house with a shop vac is crazy to me now.
Yeah, I know. It's just because you could see it just pouring out the sides.
Back. You're like atomizing little tiny bits of dust everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, by the way, welcome to my world. I've always tried to teach people the difference between a dust extractor and a shop vac. And then I always point out, hey, you ever look at your shop vac, how it's just blowing more dust in the air? And they all kind of go, oh, yeah. A shop vac's for cleanup. Dust extraction is at its source. And you can use our dust extraction for cleanup as well. Cool. So out of all the Sanders, I'll ask you a couple Festool questions.
I love it.
Out of the Festool Sanders, which one might be your favorite?
So my favorite for what we do is probably the ETC 125 with the 3 millimeter cut to it.
Yep.
Because we sit like for doors. So that's our door sander for flats. The 6-inch is what we use for all of like the walls and ceilings. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, for people who are not doing the level of work I do, but just like more standard painting. It's really hard to beat the RO90 for versatility. That was my first sander. That's probably the sander we've used the most. Like, we've used it for so many different things.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we just bought another one this week, and we're about to do a bunch of window sash tracks. We're going to be stripping them down. And so that three inch rotary is going to rip the paint right off that track.
Right.
And then we're going to put the triangle on and get up in the little corner. And then we can do our random orbit finish sanding. And it's
cool. You know,
without that tool, that process of stripping those tracks on 30 windows in a house would be much more labor intensive or much more time consuming.
Yeah.
So I'm a big RO90 guy.
Boy, time is money, ain't it? For sure. All right. So I had no idea about this when I was doing my research, Zach. How did you get involved with ZKC to roof coatings? Because I know it's a three-step process when you go in there. How did you start that? What happened? What was the impetus?
I'm a big like coatings nerd, paint nerd, and for when I first started my company, I had much more time than I had work. So I spent a lot of time on the internet researching. I was read every forum I could at Paint Talk. And so Armstrong Clark is, in my opinion, the gold standard for exterior oil-based stain. There's not, it's the fine paints of Europe of stain, but it doesn't cost any more. It's easier to use. It's one of my favorite products. So Armstrong Clark on their website had this thing about Shake Shield. And I remember reading all about it, but having no idea how I'd ever use it. And one day I got called out to a house and to do some painting, and I noticed they had a cedar shake roof, and I ended up selling them on a cedar shake roof coating, having never actually done it myself. But I just knew that, like, if we were to coat their roof with stain, they're starting to have a little bit of cupping to the mm-hmm. shingles, and they were getting dried out. It was right on the water. Beautiful home. The idea was we give natural oil back to the wood. The wood lays back down, and then we put pigment on there to be a sacrificial coating from the sun. Just like you would stain the side of your house so that the wood would take the brunt of it. So with this coating system, we can now make roofs beautiful, but more importantly, you'll never replace your roof because we're going to be putting a sacrificial coating on. And cedar shake roofs are very expensive. In my area, I mean, some of the houses that we work on, there it would be $250,000 to put a new roof on, where we can come in for $30,000 and coat it.
Wow.
So
go ahead.
That first roof we did, I've now done two times. It's about ready for it. No, I think I've done it three times in about 10 years. No, two times. It's about every 6 years. So we've done it twice. Wow. And now that client will never replace that cedar roof. And so once I saw that, and there's no one else doing it in my market. So we've started doing it, and it's a money maker for us, but it's also a great value for our client.
Yeah, man. I bet you get some killer referrals too.
Generally in my area, the houses that have cedar roofs are pretty impressive homes.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, I saw on that, and I'm going to call it out again, cedarroofcoating.com.
Yeah.
It's a three-step process, right? You go and you wash. If you need to repair, you do repair. It's a full service. And then you do the coating.
Yep.
Wow. That's a
washing of it's the most important part. So we do a soft wash. We don't use bleach. We use the percarbonate wash that doesn't hurt the wood. Mm-hmm. But we clean the roof first before staining.
Yeah, for sure. And then if there's you need to put some shakes in there and
We try never to have to, because that's a dangerous, that's a can of worms you can get into if you start to replace two or three shakes on a roof.
Oh yeah. Slippery slope right there.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Okay. So I mentioned it, but I want everybody listening to pay attention. ZK Live is your podcast.
Yes.
And I think you've done 100 episodes.
Yeah, a little over 100 now.
Wow, that's amazing. How did you start doing that? I know it's good to have a podcast and everything, but how did
it was
get
COVID.
Started?
I was bored. It was like right at the beginning of COVID, and I had some more free time. I'm not a guy that does well with free time. Like I want to do something. Yeah. And I like to talk. I'm very passionate about what I do, and it's hard to get me to shut up.
It's all good, bro.
I felt like we talked for over 3 hours on the podcast.
It's but all good.
I wanted to just start to talk about painting. And because I had read everything on every forum when I was young, growing up. And if any of those experts that I had learned so much from, if they had ever had just talked and put out content, I would have consumed it and got a lot out of it.
Yeah.
So I decided I needed to start to create content so that, you know, the young guys coming up, they could learn some stuff that I had to learn the hard way, maybe, or, you know, whatever it was. I just love what I do, and I want to talk about it more. So I just turned on a camera. If you go back to my first episodes, they're pretty cringy. I was moving around my shop trying to find good Wi-Fi. It was bad.
That's how we started Festool Live. We just said on Monday, you want to do this? We went, yeah. And they asked me, when can you do it? I go, how's Friday at noon? And it started out with two cameras, Zach, two iPhones. And we had so much daggone fun. And then that night I got an email that says, guess what you're doing the rest of your life? It's funny. It wasn't that we were I guess I was. I was wondering at the beginning of COVID, I'm a trainer. I'm an in-person person. And guess what? I love to talk, and everybody knows that. But I needed to teach people somehow about Festool. That's how we started Festool Live. I am so stoked we started. I'm so stoked that you invited me to do ZK Live, because look what came from it, you know, shop talk. So I just – everybody calls me the old guy around here, and I guess I am, but I'm doing social media 24/7, and I love it. I love connecting with people. And you said something that is so important. You wish some of these older guys had imparted their information to you a little bit better. That is what I love about social media, because some of these guys, if you just coax them a little, I mean, I know so many people in the trades down in Fort Lauderdale that I would just talk to them on the job site, right? Yeah. But boy, what if they had gotten in front of the camera like it is now? I think we would have so many more young people in the trades, because these guys could tell people, you know. That's why I like Mike Rowe. I love the guys from This Old House. Everybody, Mark Adams down here in Whiteland, Franklin, he's got a school. He's trying to get his whole push is for young folks, because we want our craft to continue, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I want to see it stop eroding.
Go ahead.
Honestly, continue. I want to see the standard stop eroding. Right, yeah. Now, in my opinion, people are competing on price way too often. And because it's easier to win a job by lowering your price than it is to demonstrate value and to be a true professional. And so the more you can educate people, the more they can sell the work for what it costs to do it properly, the better the overall standards of our industry are.
Perfectly, perfectly stated. So when you were 14 and you were painting, who was your biggest influence? Who are the masters in your town? Who was your influence?
So I had Figure It Out was my first, like, you just figure out this thing. And then I had a guy, I never really had much coaching on painting until I moved to Philadelphia when I was in college. And I worked for this guy, Dave Weiss. I doubt he's listening, but he was the first time I had worked for a company. The guy was, he had come up in the industry. He had done not a formal apprenticeship, but he had worked with people who were doing that apprenticeship style. It was real old school craftsmanship.
Yep.
And he treated it like a profession, mm-hmm. not like he was going to like just doing a work. Like it was like, I'm a professional painter and I hold my head up high and I act a certain way.
Yep.
And that really like changed the way I saw painting, mm-hmm. from a sort of just get it done to a like prideful thing.
Yeah.
And so he was my last person I worked for was him. I moved home to be with my family and I just started working by the hour for people under the table. And that's how I started my company about 12, 13 years ago. And so painttalk.com was where I was exposed to people talking about painting through a forum. And I probably have read every single post on that forum. Scott Burt.
Yep.
Scott Burt and Todd Pudvar. Those two guys were, they introduced me to Festool through the painttalk.com. I was big fans of those guys. Still am to this day. They're great guys. They were a big inspiration to me.
You just made my day. You know that, right?
Scott, they're old school.
They're my boy. They're my guys. They're inspirational to me. And do you think they're listening? Do you think they're going to listen to this?
I hope so.
I do too, because I'll say it right now. I love those two guys. I love those two men. I have had so much great experiences. They actually, when we were getting into the paint market, I'm a trainer and I wanted to really immerse myself. I spent, I think, a week with them up on Lake Champlain, up in Burlington, Jericho, at their shop and on the job site. And I was saying about the experience, and I learned how daggone hard you guys work out there, you know, and the misconceptions of, I hate saying this, but the misconceptions sometimes of painters, you guys are true. You are in that league. Scott, you know what we call Todd? If he's out there, the mayor. You want to talk about a guy who can talk, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And we need more individuals like those two, like you, Zach, out there for sure. Okay. So I got to ask you, and I kind of know this, but it's a question I have here. And I'm talking more about, I know you started the school, but I can't believe it. Somebody mentioned it's almost 2 years we're into this pandemic, right? How's it affected your business? Have you gotten busier because people are more idle at home, or?
Well, I mean, I think like a lot of people, the market's on fire for the, and my market specifically in Boston and in the ultra high end, people are spending a lot of money. They're doing a lot of renovations. It's been amazing for us. Honestly, I'm incredibly grateful that my business has grown so much through the pandemic. I mean, we doubled in size in the middle of the pandemic. Like that's crazy.
Wow.
And the demand is far higher than supply right now. And that's how I want it, right? As a business owner, I want to be higher than supply always.
Mm-hmm.
And so honestly, the pandemic, it's not, obviously it's not fun for us, but my painting company has been incredibly lucky.
Yeah. It's great to hear. I see on your social media, and I know how you, I was looking at all your different socials and I was thinking, huh? And I go, that is really smart. You actually advertise, hey, we're hiring, right? You know?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You find it tough to bring people into the business?
That's, I mean, my biggest hurdle, like right now we're looking for a rock star shop manager. We're building a state-of-the-art facility, top of the line spray equipment, crazy projects. I'm looking for a rock star to run that facility. Mm-hmm. That's not an easy thing to find. We've gone through a lot of apprentices over the last two or 3 years. People come in with no experience and we teach them up. We have a guy downstairs started with no skills. He's going to do a gloss door from start to finish now.
Wow.
But there's quite a turnover with the apprentices and it's hard enough to find them. But then when they find out how much sanding is involved, it's hard work. We try to make it as fun as possible. And we try to use as many festival sanders as we can, but we do a lot of hand sanding and we do a lot of sanding in general. And you have to be a certain type of person to love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what I learned in the weeks I spent up in Burlington is especially exterior. There's a lot of wild cards out there, but the wild card is the weather and it's all prep.
Yep.
And I said, and I looked at those guys after one day, I think we started at 5 a.m. and at like 6 p.m, I looked at them, I go, I was totally emaciated. And I just looked at them, I go, is it always this bad? Hey, they looked at me and started laughing. And they go, you greenhorn. I was like, boy, this is, you guys, I don't care what you charge. You don't charge enough. That's hard work. And the thing is it rained the next day, you know? So now they have to go back and start all over. It was weird. I guess the wild card is weather for exterior. It affects you at all, what you're doing?
Yeah, we do about 80% of our work interior. Just people are generally more likely to spend more money on the inside of their house than the outside. So we see a much higher demand for interior painting, but we maintain some beautiful homes. We do a lot of exterior stain grade stuff, maintenance, and because once you get exterior stain, it's a luxury product. It needs to be maintained before it ever looks bad. So we have a few clients with some really beautiful houses that have a lot of exterior wood that needs to be stained on a regular basis. That's a majority of our exterior work.
Yeah, and you probably have contracts with them for a few years going forward, right? Yep.
We schedule the follow-up calls for them, right?
Yep.
It's not enough. I don't believe it's a professional thing to do to say, hey, Mrs. Jones, I just stained your deck. It's an Ipe deck on the water. We're going to need to stain this every single year. Make sure you call me next year.
Mm-mm.
Come on. Mrs. Jones has a lot of things on her plate.
Yep, I'm a professional.
I'm going to call her and say, hey, Ms. Jones, I'm not telling you have to, but remember we talked about it's really important that you do this now or it'll cost you more later. So we try to stay on top of our clients' maintenance schedules for their homes.
Hey, that's wicked smart advice. I hope people listening are picking up these tips because that's gold right there for sure. Okay, here's one for you. Maybe it's a little personal, but What did you go to school for? College.
I was a pre-med bio major. I thought I was going to be a doctor.
Hey, doctor.
Yeah. I was always a science nerd. I was always, school came easy. I loved it. And I thought I was going to be a doctor. Then I went to Arizona State for college. And I had a lot of fun, but didn't go to class a lot. And I got about halfway through my degree. And I decided I want to start a business.
Yeah. That's funny. I didn't go to a lot of classes. I at the end of my 4 years, I went, is this really over? You mean I have to graduate? Yeah. I had so much fun in school. Cool. Hey, here's a question that I ask sometimes, not everybody. What do you think your life or your path may have taken you if you didn't paint, if you didn't stop school? What are some of your interests you might have wanted to look at?
I think architecture is something I'm pretty into. Honestly, if I think about this a lot, if it, like heavy equipment, like cranes, I'm obsessed with, like, my wife is like, are you looking at another crane or another lift again as we drive down the road? Like, do you see that crane? Like, I would, there's a part of me to this day that still would love to get into that industry. I know nothing. I would be completely fish out of water, but I love human ingenuity and like what our species can do when we put enough incentives around an idea and how we can like adapt and solve problems. And, you know, I just have a lot of faith in the human race. And so stuff like big engineering projects, the complex machinery and equipment, all that stuff really gets me going.
My wife goes on the YouTube channel. She goes, what's your obsession with logging and forestry? You know, I could sit there for hours and watch chippers, you know, these massive chippers, these massive cranes that take down trees. I love that stuff. In fact, there's a guy on Instagram. I'm going to call him out. His name's Matthew Collins Design. I'll get him on here one day. And his sawmill is to die for, but he's a full-time forestry arborist. And it's amazing to go on his channel and look at the machinery. So you're cranes. I'm in like big sawmill stuff. I love it.
Remember that show Axemen on History Channel?
I've never watched it. Everybody tells me I should.
I love that show.
You know what? Now I got to go back and try to find it and watch it. Cause somebody was telling me about it.
You would eat it up. If you're into that, it's so good.
Yeah. Growing up in Maine, it was like everybody had a sawmill down the road, you know? And then you'd drive by and go, oh, let's pull in and see what the saw on. It was fun.
I'm going to Sugarloaf tomorrow night for the weekend.
Oh, cool. Cool, man. Wake. Oh, God. Do you know they're more known today for their golf course than they are for their ski slope?
Really?
They're golf favorite mountains. My buddy golfs there all the time. He said they have a 5-star golf course there in the summertime. He goes up there more in the summer than he does in the winter. That's crazy. Yeah. So if anybody wants to know, Sugarloaf is a ski slope.
In Maine.
Yeah. In Maine.
For sure. We were at Sunday River 2 weeks ago.
Sunday River. I have a lot of buddies who have places up there. Yeah, for sure. Too cool. Okay. Future growth. Where do you see? What are your expectations? Where are yourself going? Keep expanding. I know you. Right away, you started talking about your new shop. Are you just going to keep growing?
Yeah, I actually just brought on. I'm just sold 25% of my company to a strategic partner. Where the paperwork should be signed any day. The lawyers are going back and forth. A systems expert guy runs an incredibly successful painting business. I am not a details guy. I am not going to get things super efficient. I'm a move forward and do bit like ideas guy. So he's got all these, he's going to get a systematized. I have another business partner that I brought on at the same time. So we have big plans to grow significantly in the next 5 years. We've switched to primarily a subcontractor based model. So we are mostly a sales, marketing, management company. with a in-house team in the shop and an in-house quality control team. But we are sort of looking to grow that a lot, using a network of really, really skilled paint contractors who really don't want to do the sales, the marketing, all the client interactions, all the stuff that we didn't get into this business to do, which is was my case. I would have loved to have worked for the company I built today as a subcontractor when I started.
Yeah.
And so that's sort of where we're looking to do. We're looking to grow about 50% this year, and while we build out all our systems so that we can double in size again. I hope to be, you know, we did about $2 million in revenue this year. I hope to do about a little over three next year, round three. Then I want to be at $10 million in 5 years. I want to be a big company that's adding a ton of value to the market, making clients happy, making painters happy, and sort of solving the problem that the paint industry has of generally really good painters aren't really good at business.
Well, and guess what? Same thing with cabinetry. Everybody's a craftsman. Everybody can build a box, but they're not. And everybody who leaves your shop that you have brought up in the ranks out of an apprenticeship program or, you know, just bringing them up, they go away. They think, oh, you're making a ton of money. And they go, I could do it. And they're not, they don't know the business part of it. And that is where you gotta have that detail orientation. My business partner was really detailed orientated. So it really helped. All right. I have one for you. What's a question I didn't ask you that I should have asked you?
Oh, man. So that's, I've been just coasting. So I'm usually the guy who does all this prep work. I have all my questions ahead of time. I got to just show up to this. Like, I just like put my hands back and I'm coasting.
Did I mention at the beginning? I hope I did. You've done over 100 podcasts. I think you are the ultimate host, okay? And you were really prepared when I did mine. But here's the thing. Is this the first time that someone asked you on a podcast?
I've done a couple. Yeah. Never like this, though. They've always been podcasts, like over the phone.
Yeah.
So this is like I'm on the complete opposite side of the exact way I have always done it.
Yeah.
So I'm very, like, my blood pressure is super low. My heart rate is super low, which is never the case when I sit in front of this camera. Normally, when I finish these, I'm exhausted because I've just been trying to carry the conversation and think ahead. And, you know, so honestly, I have no good answer for you there.
Okay.
I wish I had something for you, but I don't.
It's all good. I want to thank you for your time. I know how daggone busy you are. I was just blown away when I started. I went on Instagram and then I went, oh my God, look at his link tree. And I just went on and on and on. And then I found ZK Cedar Roof Coatings. I was like, does this guy sleep? Because I know how draining it is to go 2 hours, 3 hours on a podcast every week. So
I've taken about a month and a half off of the podcast and it has been invigorating. I'm chopping at the bit. I'm ready to get back. Now that I'm past COVID, I have a little bit of cleaning up to do. And then we're going to start back with the show maybe twice a month instead of four times a month.
Cool.
But yeah, it's definitely, it takes a lot out of you. I have a great team of people. I've learned a lot as I've made a lot of mistakes and moved fast. So I've figured out how to find good people and we have a great team.
Yeah. I think the number one struggle in business is finding the right people that are going to do things the way you like it done. Yeah.
And that trust, right? To be able to trust people, you know, we just had our first high gloss door executed and delivered without me seeing it. And that's,
how the heck did you do that?
That's pretty scary, and also it feels good that we have a team. But, yeah, I mean, well, I couldn't see it. I had COVID, and so, it wasn't going to happen. But and I have my business partners, like that, I trust them implicitly. And that's taken a long time to let go of control of every single mm-hmm. aspect of my company. But we are far more productive. I am more productive. My company is better off with me doing the things I'm great at. Mm-hmm. And then people who are great at the things I'm not so great at doing those things.
Sound advice, Zach. Sound advice. For sure. All right. Do you have any questions for us? Ooh, that's an open question.
Only questions that you're not at liberty to answer. What's the next big tool coming out?
Okay, for painters. The painters. Let me think.
So I have to say...
And I can't say, but you're going to love this. You're going to love it. Love it. Love it. And I think this year, later on this year, you're just going to go, oh, Sedge was right. This is awesome. So I think this year, and I'm not saying this to tease people listening or anything, I think this is our biggest release year in new tools. I spent all day yesterday, last week and a half prepping for yesterday afternoon. I trained sales managers on spring release on new tools. Oh my God. I can never leave this company, Zach, because of the tools that are coming out. It's incredible. And we got some great stuff with paint. I'm not going to tell you exactly when because the bosses are listening, but they're coming up this year.
Oh, I'll tell you, the new Plane X was a game changer for us.
Amazing. Amazing. Random orbit. Duh. Boom.
Yes.
And the light, the engineers used to see a guy, either one of two things, somebody putting the light on the Plane X or somebody standing next to somebody using a Plane X. Duh. Put a light, make it random orbit, get that finish on there.
The random orbit to me was a game changer. We with the level of work we do, we really just didn't have a lot of uses for the direct drive Plane X. Like we don't remove a lot of popcorn. We don't really do a lot of heavy sanding. Mm-hmm. So I had one and it kind of sat. This new guy, man, we use it all the time.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It's brilliant.
Yeah. I call it the game changer. I said, and we have stuff coming up this year. And I got my hands on it, and I'm just like, how can we better that? Oh, we bettered it.
Dude,
how can we?
I can't wait. I can't wait.
You wait. You're going to love it. You're going to love it, love it, love it. Okay. We've taken up enough of your time. Get back to work.
Awesome. I'm going to go sell some paint jobs.
Everybody, please check out Zach's social. He's an amazing human being. Check it out. Check out ZK Live Podcast. It's one of my favorite podcasts. Zach Kenny, we thank you for your time. You are a rock star.
Thanks, Sedge.
Thanks, brother. Hey, we'll see you later.
Take it easy, buddy.
Man. Benchmark. Later.